Hi, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Art on the Ave NYC podcast series. Today, we'll be talking about how we can use art to learn. We came up with the idea for Art on the Ave because we are all educators, and we were looking for a way to help our students come to terms with the events of this past year. We wanted to find an avenue, pun intended, that would teach them new perspectives and expose them to different stories. We have invited some artists, educators, and community members to join our conversation about how we can use art to learn. Here with us today are Clark Edmond, founder of Crate, an online gallery and educational platform, Ademola Olubefola, one of our Art on the Ave artists, and Cheryl McGinnis, curator and educator and leader of our gallery walks. My first question to all of you is, how do you use art to encourage learning in your own world?
To me, one of the reasons that I became an artist was not just to express myself, but to hopefully, you know, kind of uplift the spirit and help to enlighten through my visual expressions. I began as a musician, but I eventually evolved into practicing what I like to call the visual sciences.
Ademola, your piece that's in the Art on the Ave exhibition right now, Confrontation, was originally created in 1966. And as a teacher, it would be one of the first pieces that I would bring my students to if I was doing an outdoor gallery walk. Because to me, it says so much about the time that it was created in and is still relevant to now. Was there a reason that you decided to use that as part of our exhibition? And maybe what were you hoping people might take away from it?
Well, actually it was Lisa Dubois, who is, I believe, the curator of Art on the Avenue, mm-hmm. who encouraged me to use that particular piece because it was something that she particularly was fond of, and thought that graphically it would, you know, make a kind of a big impact because of the graphic nature of it. It's black and white. And that was the actual reason for using that particular piece. It happens to be one of my favorite too. But this is an updated version of it in a sense.
Right. It's one of my favorites as well. I find it very striking and impactful. And Cheryl, as the leader of our gallery walks, what do you say to people when you pass this piece, if you were with a group of kids, for example?
You know, what I say to everybody is when we pass any piece, and this is one of my favorite pieces as well in the tour, is what do you see? When you look, you learn. You learn about the piece that you are looking at, and you learn about yourself because your observations are uniquely you. And it's a way for students to build confidence. I've worked with kids from kindergarten all the way up to graduate programs and professors. And we, unfortunately, in our society, in American society, we really don't value art on the level that it should be. Art is the act, the physical, the expression and the experience of what people are going through at the time in which they are going through it. So it doesn't surprise me that Ademola's piece is as relevant today as it was in the 60s, because if I showed you that piece, a piece like that from a Jim Crow era or another era in history, you would see links all the way through because art is the voice of the people. History books are written by, as they say, the winners or those who are ruling. Well, art is the expression of what we're living through. So if we look at art, we will truly learn history. And I do wish that in our society and that there was time in education to put the visual and the historic together, because students would look and they would experience it for themselves and then understand the history better.
I completely agree. You just articulated basically my entire pedagogy. My background is in art history, and I'm currently a history teacher. And I start my classes with, if we're studying the French Revolution, we see a painting from that time. The American Revolution, same thing. And I agree. I do believe that art has that power to teach people about what people were living through and what they were going through at different moments in history and within different demographics in society. Also, it's very clear, we know that great art is born out of times of unrest and trauma. And there's no denying that this year has seen both of those things. And we wanted Art on the Ave to give artists the space to work through some of the challenges that they face this year. And help everybody move forward.
I completely agree with your sentiments and your opinions about this topic, Cheryl and Jackie. But my background is a bit different. I have a legal background. So when I approach education in the arts, I see it as a filter to through different disciplines and different subjects. I try to, when I speak to people who don't have an art history background or they're somewhat intimidated by art discourse, I try to meet them where they are. And, you know, whether it's economics, law, history, finance, medicine, I can't think of, you know, an artwork that doesn't apply to another discipline or subject. So I completely agree with what you're saying, Cheryl. Like, looking is learning, and you can take any perspective, look at a work of art, and, you know, the possibilities to discussion and education are endless. And it is a shame that, you know, our education system is a bit more clinical now and focus on test scores, and the informal discourse around art in the education system isn't as valued, isn't as highly valued, you know, economically. But, you know, I completely agree with what you're saying about it. It moves through every discipline and through every experience. It's a great platform to harness basically the essence of humanity.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Clark. I mean, if we really want to learn about other cultures, if we're truly saying though that's who we are, Americans, we are diverse, we honor other cultures, we will look to their art to understand people, not to judge them. And art is for everyone. You don't need a dialogue. You don't need to have the language of it. If you look and learn and say, I see a boat, I see whatever it is you see in the piece, it starts, students come to it and they are immediately engaged. And then they start looking more and closer and trying to figure out the way they think. And I always ask students, why do you see something differently than I do? And it's funny because they don't want to say sometimes the obvious, except one student one day said to me, because I'm young and you're mad old. And I said, did you have to say mad? And I just But he was right. But he was right. And it's interesting because he wasn't paying attention in class. I'd gone into the classroom and then he got engaged. And I said, I'm going to tell you why else. I'm a woman. And he goes, and you're white. I said, thank you for saying it. I wouldn't have known it. All of those things that we're so afraid to talk about. I really thank you for that, because now I can see this piece through your eyes. I can only see things through my own experience. And once we open up this dialogue, and I've seen it happen at Art on the Avenue a lot as I'm doing the tours, once we open up, people start to say what they see. I never tell them what to see, ever. They start seeing each other differently and engage in a conversation that absolutely celebrates each other's differences.
Well, you know, it's very interesting as an artist listening to you dear folks, there's an old Chinese proverb that a picture is worth a thousand words. It's really an understatement, because we're really visual people. Both of you, I think, have expressed what is, you know, really very true. You see a picture And it jumps over so many barriers that we would naturally have in terms of communication. And there was one of my favorite things, it was a little banner, because I've done, you know, a few things down at the UN over the years. And it, you know what it said? Everybody smiles in the same language. And that stuck with me forever, because it's so true. As what you were saying, Cheryl, concerning, you know, how you read, you know, one another's culture, how you learn about people by through their art. And I mean, it goes all way back to the earliest form of communication, the cave paintings.
I've done a lot of classes on the caves of Lascaux, and what we learn from them are listening to the children tell me what they see from those caves. It's so important because every culture, every single culture that has ever existed has had the need to make marks, to mark make, whether they're pictographs, or the caves of Lascaux, the Native Americans on skins, on animal skins, whatever it is, every culture has this need to express themselves, tell us who they are. And it's all there visually. And Clark, to your point, it's unfortunate. And I think some of it is this, our country, is that we think of it as elitist as art. But if we were to teach the viewing of art, meaning the looking is learning, starting in kindergarten, we would develop a nation of museum goers, gallery goers. It wouldn't be this. People would come to it and say, yes, this is my language as well. We would have a different conversation happening. And yet we don't do that. And that, I feel, is a big, well, and that's an Art on the Avenue is so beautiful. Important right now.
We'd be more civil for sure.
Yes.
And one of the things that has troubled me, I have a few years on all of you, so I have a little different perspective, is, you know, there's been a big issue that I've always spoken about, and that is, why did they reduce art in the schools? I mean, when I was growing up, you know, art was just a regular part of the curriculum. Now it has to be a specialty, or there's none at all in the educational system. So that's something that really needs to be addressed. And I encourage, you know, people all the time when I talk to them, you know, talk to your educators, talk to your politicians, talk to your civic leaders, that we got to get that expression. As a man, for instance, the closest thing that we could come to birth is creating a work of art. You know, we can't have children, but I really believe that the creative process, especially in the visual arts, is the closest thing that a male can come to, you know, that whole idea of bringing life into the world.
Adamol, I think to your point, I think we have to go even further than just the doing of art in schools. I think that they do as best they can in a society in which we are so geared towards the test results. We taught a phenomenal program at the Museum of the New York Historical Society, where I'm also an educator, when we did this program a few years ago, Black Citizenship in the Age of Jim Crow. If our history books reflected this, students would learn a different American experience.
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal. And I applaud Cheryl and Jackie for incorporating art into their curriculum and into different subjects. I wish I'd had that experience and that introduction to art, because everyone thinks in different ways, right brain, left brain, left, right side of the brain, left side of the brain. And, you know, but going off of the rest of this discussion, really, art is evidence of what I see it through that legal framework. It's evidence.
It's evidence. I love
actual
that part.
Evidence of what's happened in the world. One of the discussions that we've had with Crate, with our audience, was on the artist Beverly Buchanan and her experience being a Black woman in the South. And there is one of her artworks, Medicine Woman. It touches on her poor experience in the healthcare system in America, searching for medicines and, you know, different ways to heal her body. And this is an experience that different, many Black women deal with today. And we were speaking with the pre-med group at Columbia, at the Society for Humanities, and the discussion of that work ended up going towards, you know, how more Black women have postpartum death, how more Black women die after giving birth. And so through the discussion of that work of art, I mean, we related to this was a group of women who are in the medical field. So, I mean, even when in their practice, they can look to reasons why, evidence of as to why they should, and the different reasons why they should interact with their Black female patients differently and then come through a different empathetic lens and really understand what's going on with them.
That's extraordinary.
I'm curious, folks, since Cheryl, you are a tour leader, do you recall confrontation? I mean,
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I would be curious. I would be really interested in hearing what you see in the piece.
No, truly, because Clark, you wrote evidence. You said evidence, and I wrote it in my notes. I had evidence with exclamation points near it. I mean, when you hear someone speak your language and put it into their a different wording, it's amazing because it is evidence. And so to bring me to your piece, Adamola, it's when I see your piece, to me, there's so much that relates to the 60s, the heavy graphic line. I mean, it really is, we could look at the history of graphic and that kind of graphic line from the 60s, that black and white, that intense confrontation that was civil rights at that time, whether you intended to or not. I'm just saying what I...
Of course, what we want to hear. What do you see? You know, one of the things that gets people hung up, and I think Clark spoke to that, is the whole clinical analysis of art. And, you know, I have to remind people, listen, you know, you don't have to go to school to enjoy a work of art. I mean, it's what you see. It's as simple as that. What do you feel? I think both of you spoke to that. So the whole idea of having to have be highly educated in order to enjoy art, I think is ridiculous.
Right. The more we can make art accessible, that's why this project, Art on the Avenues, I think is extraordinary. The more we can make art accessible and show people that it is not elitist. There may be elitist conversations around it, but once we all embrace it and once we all can come to it, just know that all you have to do is look and be present. And children, this is why children are not afraid to say what they see. They're not afraid to be wrong. They come up with the most amazing things.
That's why I was so graphic with confrontation. I wanted that simplicity. I wanted someone to be able to look at it, and you don't have to be an intellect or try and, you know, look for all kinds of other kinds of signals or signs. And that's one of the reasons that I made it so simple. But the idea when I created that piece was simplicity and complexity simultaneously. It's about simplicity. It's about, you know, letting the viewer, who becomes, in my view, part of the creation, because I'm not creating just for myself, even though there is work, especially within my culture, where you create things that even if nobody ever looks at them, they have a magical aura. They have a solar biological connection to the universe and to nature. But for the most part, you create for people to see the work. So, you know, it's so important that what you do when you're trying to communicate, that you make it as accessible and simple as possible.
And, you know, going off of that, I heard a quote once that I love. It was, you know, in academia, people see it as elitist, you know, and there's a certain perspective about those discussions and that environment. But I heard a quote once that was, intellectual conversations aren't just for intellectuals. And I completely agree with that. If anything, people who aren't in academia can teach people in academia more. I mean, there's a mutual discussion that has to be had between different communities and different, like I said, disciplines. So yeah, in terms of meeting people where they are, art being accessible, making it simpler, but really not, because people who don't have a background in art history understand probably more than we're giving them credit for, just like children.
I agree.
They teach us a lot.
To what you were saying, Clark, I think that especially if we're in academia and in that kind of world, you get bogged down a little bit by the lexicon of what the words, the terminology that we use. So
they call it art speak, Jackie.
Yeah,
art speak. Yeah, exactly. Clark and I both did our masters in a very kind of in that vein, that elitist art world a little bit. And I think we've both kind of moved out of that to make art more accessible to everyone. And Clark, I'm sorry, can you explain a little bit more about what exactly your hope is for your educational conversations through CREATE?
Oh, yeah. Our main goal is to bring young collectors into this conversation that we're talking about right now and to cultivate their confidence in the art market so that they can start collecting art, but also appreciate art from whatever perspective they're coming from. So we do speak to, like I mentioned before, you know, young professionals in the medical community, people, you know, in finance and in law, so that we can basically bring these communities together, specifically connecting them to the emerging artists, especially underrepresented artists.
The canon of art history changes. And as it's changing, we have the opportunity to now say, it's okay if you were never, you know, educated within the canon, because we left out important people, Native Americans. We left out African Americans. We left out women. We left out a lot of important cultures. And we only saw it from this culture of white Western male, very frankly. And so it's
Cheryl, that's just reflective of history, period, the way history is taught. So
exactly.
Obviously, you know, so naturally the art, you know, is part of a very important part of history.
Yeah.
So, but you know, what is encouraging today is the fact that there seems to be this resurgence or at least because it comes in waves. I've been around long enough to see these waves come and go. But this particular wave where there seems to be an increased interest in the work coming out of the African-American community is encouraging. A growth of new museum curators and so on of color. There's a big, big boost there. Galleries like Clark has. And the interaction and critical attention is now being paid to some of the work coming out of that community. So this particular surge, I think, is special. And speaking about Obama, I think part of the residual effect of Obama being in office, outside of all the obvious ones, where young kids who were born in this era, the only thing they knew, or the first thing they knew, was that there was a black president. I mean, that is so significant when you think about the effect it will have on just a whole generation of young people and beyond. But the idea that, you know, art coming out of, you know, the black experience and being looked at other than being propaganda, which is what they tried to label a lot of our work during the 60s, rather than recognizing it as a movement, is so critical.
I remember working with Dr. Beck at Columbia University. He's since passed away. And his big claim to fame was that he hated the restoration of the Sistine Chapel ceiling. He felt the Italians ruined it. And he was sued in 15 provinces in Italy. So I'd walk around Italy saying, I was so proud. I'm studying with Dr. Beck. And they were appalled. But he once said he was so tired of the big museum blockbuster shows because it didn't let the people in that needed to see them the most.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Hindi Wild, Amy Schumer. I mean, the people who need to see those pieces the most are not the ladies that lunch.
All right. That's for sure.
Everybody deserves to see it, but we have to make sure now that we are getting these students either into the museums or we're getting the art to them.
Yeah. Because I think you have to have both. You have to have
both. Yeah. Yes.
Because, the experience of creating art for a young person is just life-altering, really. You know, when they can put that paint or that pencil or that crayon onto a piece of paper and create something that they can smile at or show off. It just, you know, it's a life-changing experience for a young person, really.
Absolutely. And to see yourself represented.
It's so inspiring to see these, you know, major, super successful Black artists in these major institutions. And, you know, I can only imagine what it's like for a young kid to walk in and see themselves in a work. Even understanding that, you know, if a young child has that artistic lean, if they want to be an artist and they're not sure, seeing Black art and by Black artists in these institutions, they can aspire to that. Yeah. They can be an Amy Sherrill. They can be a Candy Wiley. That's so important. And I'm so glad, I'm sure we all are, that we're, you know, really excavating and these artworks that have been hidden from the canon, and we're re-educating ourselves and re-educating young children. And I'm just so grateful to the artists who have put in the work for hundreds of years so that we can look back and, you know, do this over again, basically.
But I just wanted to say thank you all for being here today. I have loved learning from you, and I'm sure everyone else will as well. Again, I want to thank all of you guys so much for being here today. I wish I could talk to you forever and listen to you because we've touched on so many wonderful topics. And I just would like to invite each of you to leave a reflective thought on our conversation today. Cheryl, do you want to go first?
Sure. Thank you, Jackie. It's been great to be here with everybody. I would like to tell everybody who is listening, thank you, to try it. Looking is learning. Just try it. Find an object, find a piece of art, look at it. See what your reaction is. See what your observations are. Look, really look. Take your time. Go to a museum. Walk by Art on the Avenue, even better because it's outside, and look at a piece. And take your time with it and find that you will not only appreciate the work, you'll start to develop a different relationship with yourself. And then hashtag it, looking is learning, Art on the Avenue, and put it out there and let's start getting that dialogue together. You'll find a new hobby of things that you love and you'll find yourself in a new way as well, because nothing brings us closer to ourselves than art.
Thank you. Very well said. Clark, do you want to go?
Thank you so much, Jackie, for having me. I've really, truly enjoyed this discussion and, you know, speaking with all of you about a subject that we're so passionate about. There's so many things that I want to leave with and, you know, to say I could go on forever. But primarily, I think the one thing that is important to me to leave this conversation saying and emphasizing is challenging our government and people who finance the arts to consider and really take into account the importance of art and even the economic value of art. I mean, it builds and instills trust in communities. It makes us all better, more productive. So it's beyond just the emotional. It makes our communities substantively better. That's what I would say.
Thank you so much. I agree. Adamola, do you want to take us home?
Well, as a practicing visual scientist, I would like to just share with everyone the importance of the artists in your community. we are by nature, many of us by birth, are conduits for the human experience. We're kind of filters and projectors of all that is good and all that is challenging, and much of it reflected through our expressions. So the artists in your community, our community, are imperative that they be supported, that they be looked at as real contributors and essential to the growth and health of any community. And that has always been. If you notice, whenever a dictator, an autocrat, come into power, the first thing they do is begin to prosecute the artists. Why? Because the artists are the truth tellers. They're the ones who, you know, have the courage very often to be opposed to oppression or to things that are not correct. So the artists are of the people. It's that simple. We're not, you know, we're not elitists. We're of the people. Now, of course, you know, what has happened, and I think Cheryl speaks to this all the time, is that it's so important to be accessible. And this to my fellow artists, be accessible, okay? Know your role, which is that you're a barometer of the health of the community that you are from.
Wow. Thank you, Adamola. That was wonderful. And hopefully Art on the Ave is doing some of that work for the artists and bringing their work to the street and to the community. Thank you all so much for your insights. I have really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope to speak with you all again soon.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you.
These audio clips are produced by Mouth Media Network and have been made possible through the generosity of IDB Bank.